Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So we're going to address a topic today that many people encounter, but few know how to deal with it. And it's silos.
Silos.
You know those silos. So our first question concerns a new COO who gets pushback for simply holding meetings that department heads must attend, which must have been a real shocker to him. Our second question involves an innocent employee who steps into a silo situation. They can be very threatening.
Yes, I think to clarify, we're not talking about the silos that you put hay in, right?
Correct. This is a business show, My Crazy Office.
So I actually looked up in businessdictionary.com a definition. So we'll just work as a working definition. A silo is a mindset or a silo situation. It's a mindset present in some companies when certain departments or sectors do not wish to share information with others in the same company. And they say this type of mentality will reduce the efficiency of the overall operation, reduce morale, and may contribute to the demise of a productive company culture.
It really is terrible.
Yeah.
So this is the first time we got some questions on this topic. So I'm thrilled because we see it.
We do.
It's a real killer. So let's just get our first question, Logan.
I've recently been hired as the COO of a mid-sized cosmetics company, and I'm noticing that none of the departments seem to know what the other departments are doing. When I hold staff meetings with the managers, they don't understand why they have to meet with other departments. What does this have to do with us? The head of e-commerce asked me. We've never had to meet as a group before, another manager complained. Our one product manager had the nerve to ask, why does it matter to me what marketing is doing? I'm realizing that I've come to a company full of silos. What do I do now?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's really destructive. So anyone who's working in a company that's siloed, maybe not the whole company is siloed, but maybe their department is, or they're trying to deal with a department that has chosen to be siloed. This is a real indication of poor management, senior leadership management.
Right, because, setting the tone.
Well, they're
to
allowing it to happen because it really comes from there. It doesn't come from the bottom. It
comes from the top.
It does. That's where silos come from.
They have silo announcements at the top.
Well, I mean, for anyone in a senior leadership team to go rogue against the other departments is a problem. Or let's say the director of a particular department has maybe one rogue employee.
Yeah.
That would get handled, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when the whole department just feels as if they are the most important department in a company or that they
don't need to interact with the other departments to know what they're doing.
Right.
That's a real problem.
That's a real problem. Then you don't function as a whole company.
So this person is the COO, Kathy. Yeah. So are they in a position to de-silo
completely
the organization?
Okay. Yeah, they really are.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I'm concerned about who's above him or her. You know, what is their CEO? What is their position like? Are they they weak that they allowed this to happen? Or maybe they just didn't know what to do. But whatever, the COO would be the one who, or a CEO, would be the people that would then meet with all the other department heads.
Could change it.
And have a one-functioning company where they understand they're all responsible to one another.
And they break down those silo walls.
Right. Now, this happens a lot, let's say, the finance department.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a lot of confidential information,
and
there's only so much that they can give out. But that doesn't mean that they don't participate or that their staff can't help out in other departments. They're not on their own island. Also, we've seen this where companies have physical They're physically not near one another.
Yes, which is a problem, can be a real problem.
That can really happen.
You know, I'm remembering a large institution that we, where we held the first interdepartmental meetings. Do you uh-huh. know what I'm talking about?
I'm and not they sure. Were, give me a little more.
It
hint.
Was a medical facility.
Okay, I remember it now. I got it. Enough said.
It was so interesting.
It was a hospital.
Logan. It was a hospital. And it was so interesting because literally the first meeting we held, everyone was stony faced. Do you remember this?
They
and
hated
their arms
each other.
Were crossed, and they literally had that attitude. What do I have to be here? Why do I have to be here?
That's so uncomfortable. It was such an uncomfortable atmosphere.
It was ridiculous.
Fascinating.
And it was the COO who hired us. He didn't mm-hmm. really know what to do.
Right.
And
he was in a neck brace, remember?
Yeah, he was really in trouble.
Yeah, he was under a lot of stress.
I mean, there was all kinds of crap going on in that organization. But the thing is, once the staff saw that they really were interdependent on one another and that all they had to do was be helpful and meet once a month and say, how can I help you? What do you need from me? Then everything started to change.
Yes. So this COO, you have to stick to your guns. You have to kind of wait it out a little bit, right? Because they're going
Can't
to resist.
Afraid. Cannot
Can't
be afraid.
And well, you could be afraid, but still take action in the
right.
sense
you can be
that,
fearful and still get up and
say your prayers and get going.
Right.
With because once the communication, in our experience, once people really did start to communicate with each other and see the connection, they actually worked. They were happy about it.
I think
it.
There
they
were even a couple
better.
Of affairs that occurred because they started
thanks to
really
our
like,
meetings.
Yeah, they
matchmaker,
started to really
matchmaker.
Like, that was besides the point. It was to our surprise. But anyway, that's just
check
a sidebar.
Check out this cutie and find. Finances. Yeah. I never knew.
Break down those silos, baby, and all kinds of things can happen. Yes.
Anyway.
So tips for the COO. What would you suggest as just a starter in terms of...
I think
of-
there's team building exercises where you can get each person to understand that they need one another and that you know they need
they
them.
They are connected.
Mm-hmm. And that it is one company.
Yeah.
Also, I love Patrick Lencioni's work. The five dysfunctions of a team.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he talks a lot about the senior leadership team being responsible to one another, not to their department.
Right. He calls mm-hmm. it the first team, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that, it's such a great theory. It's a book really worth getting, and it's told in a story form about a company.
Right.
So it's very easy to read. And the point is really well, it should be well taken. It's a really great concept. So it's called the five dysfunctions of a team.
Right. We're senior leadership. Then they come together. They agree on their goals, their shared goals, mm-hmm. their shared vision, and how they're going to communicate down to the rest of the staff so that everyone is working together.
Right. So that book, you know, really takes it to a whole other level. But I think if you're presently siloed, you're only going to get through step one of this theory. And that's just to get everybody meeting and get everybody to see how connected they are. We do a team building exercise where we just use, you can use yarn or rope where they may not even be willing to participate at the very beginning, but you know, you actually take the yarn and throw it to somebody in another department that you count on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then they send it to somebody else. And before
who
you
they
know
count
it,
on.
Right, there's a whole web. And you realize you cannot function without the other departments. I mean, you are a whole.
Yes. You are whole. Yes. So you could do the yarn exercise, or if they're not ready for that, simply meet. And actually, Kathy, you always suggest food.
Do I?
So I'm going to think of say that. You could have pizzas
it's a
for lunch.
It gets people to the meeting.
Yeah, I'm not. I think incentive. It's a great suggestion. I just because I'm the rusty palate, I don't think to say that. But yeah, you could make the meetings worth attending in one way or another.
Right.
And really start. Also, make it interesting, perhaps in terms of them informing one another of what they're doing. Right. Something that could be interesting that each department might be doing.
Well. Yeah, but it's also to break it down into the interconnectivity that you can't run a company.
Yeah.
Let's say there's five departments. It's not five separate companies.
Right.
It's one company.
Right.
And they're probably hurting each other. The departments
are
hurting each other. And I'm sure they're seeing reduced revenue. Mm-hmm. I am sure they're seeing a high turnover. I mean, that's just what we see in siloed companies. They don't do well. Their reputation is probably eroding.
Right.
It's not...
Well, customers have a confusing experience usually,
probably.
Right? Because they have one experience with customer service, one with marketing, one with product development.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not coordinating their work together. So it's not a unified message even to the end buyer.
More.
Right. And it's not fun to work in a company like that.
No.
Approximately how long for the average company does it take to like dismantle?
Well, that's a really good question. I think when there's a cultural shift of that magnitude, depends on how long it's been going on. Mm-hmm. I want to say a year.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And I also think that some key people may have to be fired.
Mm-hmm. May lose their imprint.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe invited to leave. Yeah.
Because it didn't just get there by accident.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There are people that, because senior leadership was not strong, right. These bullies spread their negativity. So there's going to be some cleaning house,
yes.
And then there'll be a natural fallout of people that are afraid of change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So getting the right people in and shifting the organization is a process.
And actually, that's part of the COO's job, right?
Right.
Is to identify the people who can really move with the change, Logan, and the ones who just ultimately cannot. Mm-hmm. And so if you decide that someone is unwilling to break the silo, that may be like a sacrificial lamb. Sometimes there's one fire that tells right. everyone else that things are changing for good.
Mm-hmm. And we've actually done this as consultants. We've gone in and helped companies unsilo.
Yeah.
And it's not pretty. I will tell you.
Because there's a lot hiding behind those walls. I'll tell you that.
You know, people get very attached to their silo and they don't really want to get friendly again.
It's usually many years in the making, too.
Yeah, usually.
That it hasn't just occurred.
Right.
And there's other reorganization that has to go on, maybe change what the departments are called, change different roles. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Wow. So on this question, we say keep up with the meetings, try some team building exercises. Even the yarn exercise could be good. Look for the people who are willing to move and de-silo or unsilo with you. And give it at least a year, you're saying.
And read
the five Patrick Lencioni's.
Yeah, Five Dysfunctions of a Team. There's probably other great books, but that's my favorite on the subject. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back with more Silo.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on! Go ahead. You can do it. And now back to our show.
Hi, welcome back, everyone. I was going to call you Patrick. I was like, where did that come from? I don't even know where that came from.
Patrick Logan.
All right, Patrick Lindsay. Oh, my goodness. I was like, who's Patrick? Anyway, Logan, what's our next question?
I work as a packing and shipping assistant at a well-known vitamin company. One of our major clients asked me a question concerning our most popular vitamin. And I went directly to the assistant product manager for that vitamin to get an answer. Well, this guy lost it on me. He told me that product information is none of my business, and I should have referred the customer directly to him, and who did I think I was infringing on his territory? He went on and on. I went back to my boss and asked what I did wrong. She said that some people at our company work in silos. What does that mean, and what do I do now?
Well, I'd go to work at this mid-sized cosmetics company myself because it's going to be unsiloed.
From the previous question. Well, you know.
So first of all, I want to say I'm so sorry this happened to you. It's so uncomfortable. Your intentions were good. You didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
It often feels like when someone goes down, you know, when someone is that hard on you that that you've done something terribly wrong. And you haven't, right?
Yeah, you have a decision to make. Mm-hmm. One is you could just go find another job, and it may not be that easy, and it may be you like your job. And the other is I would start to make friends with maybe more of your peers, maybe people that, and don't start out talking about work. Maybe, you know, you have something socially connected with them. So people in the other department that are more your peers, maybe at your level that you can just become friends with. And sometimes by making friends at work, even though it's a faux friendship, you can still, you know, you can ask them out to lunch. You can maybe, I don't know whether they go bowling as a company has leagues and stuff. Just so that if you start making inroads with people in other departments, you can get some favors.
Try to make some connections. Mm. Yeah, well, you could actually go back to this angry person as well, right? A quieter moment, strike when the iron is cool. You could apologize and say you didn't intend to step on his territory. And in the future, if a question comes your way, how should you handle it?
It may even be better for him to, I think it's him, go to his boss and let his boss know that that happened. And maybe, you know, he could go to, with his boss, they can go and talk to the person. You know, the chances are if it's real silos, there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's not really your problem, you know.
Right.
And so sometimes it's better if management were to step
in. You didn't
in.
Cause it, you can't control it, and you can't cure it.
Well, it was there before you.
No, it's true, and it's very to realize that also is kind of a bummer, right? Because if you're this, it looks like this person was the kind, the individual asking the question is the kind of worker who likes to help the customer and wants to know more about the products. I mean, to say, to yell at someone that you shouldn't, that product information is none of your business is a pretty strange statement, wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
Well, yeah, but you can see how it happens if a company is siloed, then that's, you know, only my department is allowed to have that information.
I know.
You do your job.
Yeah.
You stick in, that's why we never get anything out of you, because you don't know your job, but
that's
yet you
want
to know my job. I mean, that's the conversation you'd hear.
Right.
So that, right, this person did not, this happened way before they ever got there.
That's right. You're not the first person who got yelled at for this, and you won't be the last.
Right. And they have to be losing customers over this, unless people don't notice it.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a management issue. And when you see this, you just know there's weak management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not taking care of this.
Right. Mm. Well, and if your boss, or in this case, the boss said, some people at our company work in silos, would you draw on the boss again?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think you should use your boss. You know, and it may be that not all departments are siloed. Sometimes there's just a bully in one department. But still, where is management?
Yeah.
Why is that allowed to go on?
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah.
So it happens.
The boss's response, I thought, was kind of unacceptable.
Oh, really?
Well, not unacceptable, but just, I don't know, just kind of indifferent. Like, yeah, this is how it is.
Well,
and it's kind of crappy,
it.
But this is just the way it is.
Well, that's,
and you know,
that's what's so interesting, Logan, is I think that from an employee's point of view, when you get that kind of response, it is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
But for individuals who've been working in siloed environments, they get used to it.
Right. Becomes normalcy, I guess.
Yeah.
Because obviously no one above the boss is doing anything about it. So it's out of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So you get used to just not staying away from everyone else's business, which then that's the thing that leads to the less productivity, less customer satisfaction, et cetera.
Right.
So it's a catch 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely not the kind of management style you want to participate in.
So for those of you looking for a job, try to find out if it's a non-siloed or siloed culture.
Well, silos come and go also in certain companies, depending on who's in management.
Right. It's all about the leadership.
It really is.
And you could ask questions about, you know, how would you describe, how do the departments work together here? In what ways do they interact? How do they make decisions together? Do they make decisions together? You could find some of that out as you're going into a new job. But we don't think to ask. That's what's so interesting. And that's
why
we wanted to talk about it.
I wanted to talk about silos also, because I don't think it's really talked about very much.
No. Mm-hmm. You need a silo detector.
Yeah. We have to figure that out.
Yeah.
How do you know before you take a job?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a tough one. I don't know that it's as obvious.
Right.
Right.
And in some cases, if you really love the work you're doing, it may not deter you from the position. Mm-hmm. Like if this person really loves packing and shipping vitamins, you know, if that's something that's interesting to them, they can keep going. They'll just have to get more help with in terms of the terrain, right? Who to talk to, who not to talk to.
Or they will refer that the next customer over. They
very
won't.
Quickly.
Right,
very
exactly.
Quickly.
I have the perfect person who wants to talk to you.
Wants to yell at you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So just to recap the advice you gave, Kathy, which I think is very good, is to make relationships. If you find that you're in an environment where there are silos, part of what you can do, what's in your control, is to foster connections with people in other departments based on a sort of friendly nature. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
To try to create a little bit of a personal connection, which will then, in times of duress, help you because you can go to them for information.
Right. I mean, you can't dig your heels in and say, you know, they're mean to me, therefore I'm never talking to them. That, yeah. You know, we're suggesting you just do it in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
Because it's really out of your hands.
Well, I was going to say, I actually had this kind of a situation in a job once mm-hmm. where someone yelled at me for, you know, getting into her business.
Did you?
Did I get into her business?
Right, or was it a silo?
Apparently I did. Well, she was an individual silo. She was very protective of her territory, right?
Right.
So I ended up apologizing to her later on, and I did actually what you said, which is I took her to lunch because part of the problem was she didn't feel important enough. Mm-hmm. And I fostered a very strong connection with her going forward because I realized I didn't want to get yelled at again.
Right.
And I needed information from her.
Right, and did it work?
It actually worked quite well.
Did you pay for lunch?
Of course.
Yeah. See, that'll work. There you go. Yeah. So if you have a problem with Catherine, she'll take you out to lunch. Remember that.
And I'll buy you little trinkets when I take trips. That was the other thing. So I'd bring her little things from wherever I travel.
That's nice.
Oh, she'd probably love that.
That's nice.
Some people need attention.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We all need attention.
Yeah, it's true. Well, that's it. If you have silo stories, we'd love to hear them.
Please, yes. Tweet us your stories and your advice and your experience about silos. And join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Review us on iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.